We read this morning from John 12, events that take place 6 days before the Passover. That is, it's the Friday before Good Friday, so just 1 week before Jesus was killed. We read from John 12, 1 through 8. Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box. He used to take what was put in it. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always." We have here in our text this morning five different examples of people who are working for Jesus. People who are giving different offerings to Jesus. But they all have one thing in common, and that one thing in common was that each of their offerings was first a gift from God. Let's look one by one at these examples. Now, this man wasn't mentioned actually in this text, but he's in a different text mentioned here, serving from a parallel account in Matthew. We learn that this whole group, that is Jesus, the disciples, Mary, Martha, Lazarus, were meeting at the house of a man whose name was Simon the Leper. Now, if you remember from your Sunday school days learning about leprosy, you know that what I just said had something wrong about it. You see, lepers weren't allowed to just own houses in the middle of the city. Lepers had to build their own colonies off in the wilderness. They weren't allowed to go near any actually healthy people because they would infect them. But this man, whose name was Simon the Leper. It's the only place he's actually mentioned, and so we kind of have to reason why this man was named Simon the Leper. Well, he was connected to Jesus. He had a house there in Bethany, so we can properly reason that he probably had been a leper before. He'd been cured by Jesus. He was likely well known in the church in the early New Testament. So Simon had this opportunity, this chance to serve the Lord by giving his offering of food, drink, his house to use as a gathering place. All of this he had the opportunity to give because Jesus had healed him from leprosy in the first place. So his offering was in fact first a gift that had been given to him by Jesus and therefore by God. And speaking of diseases, there's another man there who, as recently as the chapter before this, John 11, had a disease way worse than leprosy, namely death. Lazarus, one chapter ago, had been in the tomb for 4 days. We learned about this last week in our chapel. In the tomb for 4 days. What a witness Lazarus was to those New Testament believers. Lazarus lived every day as living proof that Jesus had power over life and death, that he was the resurrection and the life. We read the three verses after our text. "Now a great many of the Jews knew that he," that is Lazarus, or that is Jesus, "was there. And they came not only for Jesus' sake, but that they might also see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests plotted to put Lazarus to death also, because on account of him many of the Jews went away and believed in Jesus." So the Pharisees, the Jews, who were trying to kill Jesus, were also trying to kill Lazarus because of the witness that he showed for Jesus. Well, there was a couple other people there. One of them, Martha, we're very familiar with from the story of when Mary and Martha hosted Jesus and the disciples. We know that Martha was a gifted hostess. She was organized. She worked hard to serve people. But earlier in that other account, she had taken this talent too far. And assuming that it was her job to serve Jesus first of all, rather than letting Jesus first serve her. However, in this account, we again see Martha serving, but this time there's no word of rebuke from Jesus saying that she needs to pay attention to him more and less to the work she was doing. That's because she is now using her talents to serve the Lord, but she's making the words of Jesus her first priority. This greater understanding was given to Martha by Jesus. Therefore, she could properly use her gifts to the Lord. So Martha's service to the Lord was in fact first a gift given to her by Jesus, given to her by God. All three of these people were given gifts from God that they in turn gave back to Jesus. And yet how quickly and how easily these gifts, these opportunities can turn and be corrupted and twisted by sin. Here we have an example of that in the man Judas Iscariot. Judas, whose greed would escalate to the point that he would betray the Son of Man for a handful of silver. Just 1 week from this time, he would do that. Here he's already letting sin rule his life again. But the interesting thing is, Judas, like Simon the leper, like Lazarus, like Martha and like Mary as well, had this opportunity to serve the Lord from God first. You see, he was the treasurer of Jesus' small group. And even though they didn't have very much money very often, he still managed to skim some off the top for himself. But God had given him those talents and abilities to serve as a treasurer. Not everyone can do it. He was given a unique chance to spend 3 years with Jesus, the Messiah. However, he wasted these gifts from God because of his greed. Even as Jesus and his disciples marched closer and closer to Jerusalem, Judas clung tighter and tighter to his precious money, to the greed, to his sin. The deceit and the lies grew as well. From the lie that he cared about the poor, to the deception that he tried to carry out by betraying the Son of Man with a kiss. And so what about you? Are you trusting Jesus, your Savior, to provide for you? Or are you giving all your money to the church, like the woman who gave those two mites? Are you like Judas, clinging to your sin, despite the clear danger pointed out in Scripture? Now, to be clear, God doesn't want us to offer everything we have, give everything to the church, and then live in a cardboard box under a bridge. But God desires a cheerful giver, who wants someone who gives willingly in the heart according to everything he's been blessed with. And what this means for you and me is that we need to be constantly evaluating our lives, especially as you grow older and receive more responsibility. As you become leaders in the church, you need to evaluate your own giving to God. Here are some questions you can ask yourself. Am I making my weekly contribution to God and to His church a priority? Or am I showing up every Sunday and hoping I have a few dollars cash to still throw on the plate? Are you being lazy in your contribution to church needs, assuming that someone else will step up and do it? Or are you using your talents and abilities to serve the Lord? Are you trusting that God will provide for you and for your family? Or are you relying on yourself or someone else to provide for you? Are you serving as a witness to the church? To witness to the truth, as all Christians are called to do? Or are you letting your light be hidden under a bushel? When we truly examine our lives, we realize that we do fall short again and again. We realize that we do not give as God has given to us. We realize that we are sinners caught in sin and doubt, just like Judas. The difference, however, is that Judas, especially by the end of his life, was not working for Jesus from a heart of faith. Although Judas did work for Jesus in being the treasurer, and he must have done at least a halfway decent job because the disciples didn't catch him in it until after Jesus had died. But Judas did not work from the heart of faith. So even what he did offer was not true giving. However, in the case of Mary, our fifth and final person there present at this meal, we do have an offering from the heart of faith, of one who trusted in Christ. Mary was certainly a sinner, but what she offered freely, from a cheerful heart of thanksgiving for the work of Christ that he was about to do, although a sad heart due to the upcoming suffering of her Lord and Master. You know, the brighter a light is, the darker the shadow that it casts. So we have here, too, a bright light from the example of Mary, that shines so contrastly with the dark, vile intentions of Judas. And what an example it is for us. See, she was giving Jesus the spikenard. Spikenard was a rare oil that came from the mountains of the Himalayan mountains of Nepal. The rarity of the oil and the transportation costs to bring it all the way back to Israel made it quite expensive indeed. And of course, it's Judas who's able to immediately put the price tag on it. 300 denarii, about 1 year's wages. And so Judas asked the question, Should not this money be given to the poor? Well, should it have? It kind of made sense, didn't it? But Jesus answers, "Let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always." More important than how much the offering cost was where the offering came from. And the offering came from the heart. The heart of thanksgiving for what Jesus was about to do. And that's the motivating factor for us as well. What Jesus was about to do. He came down from heaven as a little child. He lived the perfect life that you and I could not. And he died that death on the cross. The mocking, the scourging, the beating, the betrayal, all of it Jesus did for us. And that's where our offerings come from the heart of faith. Lord, give us such a faith as this. Amen. We will sing a hymn this morning, hymn 686, all four stanzas.